I thought he would, for there was much fighting across the island of Britain. The Danes of Mercia had attacked the Britons in North Wales, I never did discover why, and other Danish bands raided across the West Saxon frontier, and I suspected those raids were meant to discover West Saxon weaknesses before Guthrum launched his great army. But no army came, and as the summer reached its height, Alfred felt safe enough to leave his forces in North Wessex to visit the fleet. His arrival coincided with news that 7 Danish ships had been seen off Heilingsgaay, an island that lay in shallow waters not far to Hampton's east, and the news was confirmed when we saw smoke rising from a pillaged settlement. Only half our ships were in Hampton, the others were at sea, and one of the 6 in port, the Evangelista, was on the hard having her bottom scraped. Hacker was nowhere near Hampton. Gone to his brother's house, probably, and he would doubtless be annoyed that he had missed the king's visit. But Alfred had given us no warning of his arrival, probably because he wanted to see us as we really were, rather than as we would have been had we known he was coming. As soon as he heard about the Danes off Heilingsgaay, he ordered us all to sea, and boarded Hayhengel along with 2 of his guards and 3 priests, one of whom was Beoka, who came to stand beside the steering oar. "You've got bigger, Uhtred," he said to me, almost reproachfully. I was a good head taller than him now, and much broader in the chest. "If you rowed, father," I said, "you'd get bigger." He giggled. "I can't imagine myself rowing," he said, then pointed at my steering oar. "Is that difficult to manage?" he asked. I let him take it, and suggested he turn the boat slightly to the steerboard, and his crossed eyes widened in astonishment as he tried to push the oar and the water fought against him. "It needs strength," I said, taking the oar back. "You're happy, aren't you?" He made it sound like an accusation. "I am, yes." "You weren't meant to be," he said. "No?" "Alfred thought this experience would humble you." I stared at the king, who was up in the bows with Leofric, and I remembered the king's honeyed words about me having something to teach these crews, and I realized he had known I had nothing to contribute, yet he had still given me the helmet and armor. That, I assumed, was so I would give him a year of my life, in which he hoped Leofric would knock the arrogance out of my bumptious youthfulness. "Didn't work, did it?" I said, grinning. He said you must be broken like a horse. "But I'm not a horse, father. I'm a lord of Northumbria." What did he think? That after a year I'd be a meek Christian ready to do his bidding? "Is that such a bad thing?" "It's a bad thing," I said. "He needs proper men to fight the Danes, not praying lickspittles." Beoka sighed, then made the sign of the cross because poor Father Willibald was feeding the gulls with his vomit. "It's time you were married, Uhtred," Beoka said sternly. I looked at him in astonishment. "Married? Why do you say that?" "You're old enough," Beoka said. "So are you," I retorted, "and you're not married, so why should I be?" "I live in hope," Beoka said. Poor man, he had a squint, a palsied hand and a face like a sick weasel, which really did not make him a great favourite with women. "But there is a young woman in Defnershire you should look at," he told me enthusiastically. "A very well-born young lady, a charming creature, and..." He paused, evidently having run out of the girl's qualities, or else because he could not invent any new ones. "Her father was the Shire Reeve, rest his soul. A lovely girl. Mildreth, she's called." He smiled at me expectantly,